This is the Ontario Family Law Podcast, dealing with issues related to marriage, separation, divorce, and even some child welfare issues. It is a companion to the book, The Guide to the Basics of Ontario Family Law, which is available on Amazon or by calling 416-446-5847. My name is John Schumann. I'm a family lawyer, mediator, arbitrator, and collaborative lawyer, and I am the head of the family law group at Devery Smith Frank, LLP. Today on the podcast, why is income for support sometimes different from income on a tax return? There can be a big difference between the income that someone reports on a tax return and the income on which they're supposed to pay support. Often, the income on which they're supposed to pay support is much higher, particularly when they are self-employed or have their income come from someplace other than employment. The process of calculating the support obligation for someone who's self-employed is much more complicated than it is to calculate support obligations for someone who's a salaried employee. Self-employed individuals have some ability to manipulate their income, or at least how it appears on their tax return. Self-employed people can structure their affairs to pay significantly less tax than their employee counterparts. That reality has led the courts to consider the fairest way to calculate income for support purposes. One of the reasons the Child Support Guidelines and subsequently the Spousal Support Advisory Guidelines were implemented was to create uniformity in the way that support is calculated for separated parents and spouses. Ideally, people from the same financial means should be paying the same amount of support. However, people who are self-employed have a wide range of tools available to them so they pay less tax and thereby have more money in their pocket than their salaried colleagues being paid the same amount. The courts decided that the fairest approach to determining support was to figure out a way to ensure that people with the same amount of money in their pockets each month pay the same amount of support, regardless of how they earn that money. There are at least four ways that the court may adjust a self-employed person's income to adjust for tax savings and other advantages of being self-employed. First, some self-employed individuals create a corporation and then are paid through that corporation. This allows them to pay themselves by way of dividends, which are taxed at a much lower rate than a salary. The Child Support Guidelines provide for a specific mechanism by which the person's income is adjusted to take into account the tax benefits of dividends. That adjustment results in a higher income appearing in the support calculations that appear on that person's tax return. Often, the same adjustment is made when calculating spousal support. Second, self-employed individuals who have a corporation can leave some of the money that they earn in the corporation, which means that income never shows up on the business owner's tax return. Business owners can thereby keep savings in the corporation and invest the entire amount, where a salaried employee has to create savings from his or her after-tax income. The guidelines make things fairer by requiring that any money that the business earns, which is not required for the ongoing operation of the business, be added into the owner's income tax for child support purposes. Again, spousal support is often calculated the same way. There can often be a disagreement between the spouses as to whether the money sitting in the corporation is necessary for the corporation's operations. Judges like to see a clear business purpose for having a corporation having savings. Otherwise, they put that money back into the business owner's income. Some business owners reduce their amount of tax for the family by dividing the income between several family members, such as their spouse, children, or the owner's parents. The amount that these family members receive may not reflect the work they do for the business. These payments may be designed to divide the income due to the business owner across several tax returns so that it is taxed at a lower rate on each return. The guidelines take into consideration payments that businesses make to non-arm-length individuals when calculating the business owner's income for support purposes. As I will discuss in a minute, the law requires that not only the income that appears in other people's tax returns be added back into the business owner's income, but also the tax savings that the business owner enjoys. A fourth way that self-employed individuals can reduce their income for tax purposes, but not for support purposes, is that business owners can write off many expenses in the business, some of which may also have a personal benefit to the business owner. An obvious example is a cellular phone. A business owner likely requires a cellular phone for business purposes, which makes it a legitimate deduction for tax purposes, but as a result, the business owner does not need a personal cellular phone and avoids that expense. Some expenses have quite a large personal component, and the business owner can receive significant benefits without reporting additional income on his or her tax return. Both the child support and the spousal support guidelines suggest that personal component to business expenses be added back to the business owner's income for support purposes. As you can see from what I just described, many of these strategies have significant tax advantages for the business owner that allows him or her to pay less tax than a salaried employee. The law requires that an additional adjustment be made to take into account the tax savings that the business owners can enjoy, but salaried employees cannot. To accomplish this, the law does not just add back the amount of personal expenses or other amounts that do not appear in the business owner's tax return, but also adds back the tax savings as well. This is called grossing up the support payer's income for tax. For higher income individuals, this amount can be significant. The highest tax bracket is around 43%. This means that the law requires that for every dollar of income that the business owner is able to take off of his or her tax return, $1.43 is added back to that reported income for support purposes. This is fair because the adjustment looks at how much money the business owner gets to put in his or her pocket and then bases support on how much a salaried employee would have to earn to have the same amount of money in his or her pocket. The adjustments that I have described in this podcast to a self-employed person's income tax return when calculating support are just some of the examples of adjustments to report income that the law makes when determining income for support purposes. Income for support can be much higher than the total income as reported on a tax return. In any support case, it is important for both the support payer and the support recipient to speak to a lawyer to make sure that the level of support is appropriate. Thank you for listening to the Ontario Family Law Podcast. We will have more discussions related to marriage, separation, divorce, and child welfare soon. My name is John Schumann. I am a family lawyer in Toronto. You can reach me at www.devrylaw.ca, www.devrylaw.ca, or you can call me at 416-446-5847. Thanks for listening. We will talk again soon.